So to start, I'll get you to introduce yourself. Say your first and last name and what you do and anything else you would want to say.
Okay. White Huskell Halt Isquis Tsiwikis. My name is Pauline Turbasket. I'm a Sioux Nation citizen, born and raised in Causton, British Columbia, in our beautiful Sioux territory, more of the southern end, part of the southern end before the transboundary line, and working as the executive director of the Okanagan Nation Alliance.
And we're in Revelstoke right now, just sitting in the shade above the Columbia River by the community center. There's a gathering going on. Tell me about what it is.
This year, every year, we have an annual event called the Annual General Assembly. And it's required by our nation to report out to the people and to the elected chief and councils of our nation on our past year's activities. And various reports are provided, all the work that we manage and coordinate on behalf of our chief's executive council mandate is presented here annually. Each year, as I sit here in this beautiful, beautiful land and these gazing out at these beautiful waters, I'm just reminded how much we love our Timkulau and all living things, which is Timiuk, and being in various areas of our territory. We bring our youth as well, and we encourage our communities to participate and join us and our elders. And we host various out on the land activities and tours to get our youth out on the land and get them and be around elders and be around fluent in Tsiltchin speakers. In that, we are being and gathering together as a people.
I can imagine, just because the last 2 years have been strange and gatherings haven't really been that normal, so it must feel really good, especially since you have such a large territory, so for people from all over to be coming together.
Yes, we've had meetings hosted here by our nation. As many know, this we believe and know through our Chapteh and through our origin stories that we are on our homeland. We are in a different region of our territory, which is a very large territory. And this is the first largest gathering we've had post-COVID and the transition of, you know, living with COVID. It was a real very difficult challenge because so much of our activity is around reconnecting. It's reconnecting with each other as Sioux Nation citizens and people, and supporting one another and sharing knowledge, sharing resources, sharing plans, trying to overcome and find solutions to the many diverse issues that we face in terms of protection and the defense of Sioux title and rights. And that conversation brings about various venues in which our people are engaged to come together and find resolve between settlers and settler governments like the federal crown and the provincial crown and our Sioux Nation. And so COVID, we became accustomed of using technology, which is really not the best, but we managed and everyone became very accustomed to it. But as I was sharing, the need to connect and be out on the land and share a meal together is so fundamental in our teachings. So it was hard to do that over a Zoom or over a computer. So yes, very happy. And the turnout is telling. We've got over nearly 300 registered. Largest AGA we've had for a few years, as you know, with COVID. And I think it's just telling of how much people missed being with one another.
And I noticed on social media that there was an important, I don't know, I don't want to say too much because I don't know what it is, but something to do with family.
Oh, okay.
Can you tell me about that?
You know, I'm not a fluent language speaker, and so It was a powerful day yesterday. Our communities, how I raised that our member communities and our fluent language speakers, coordinated and led by our chief's executive mandate to care for our own children support them at home and support families at home and being together as families is the Family Declaration. The declarations are Sioux Nation laws. They're making a statement for not only today, but to acknowledge the cumulative work of leaders past, present, and future, that this work will continue, that these laws and the way we cared for one another, the way we loved our children, the way we love our lands, the way we are responsible to the sacred covenants that we've had through our chapteek and responsibilities to care for one another and the laws is the same with our children. And because of colonization, as we know with 215 plus and the tragic history that we have of residential schools and all that colonization brought Indigenous peoples all across our lands, this is another way of rebuilding ourselves and reconnecting with ourselves and making a commitment. Our leaders are committed to ensure that our children will never, ever be taken away again.
Is this a way to keep children in the community so they don't go to foster care and stuff like that? Is it related to that?
Yes. Sadly, again, relating to the colonization effects and intergenerational trauma and the dispossession of our lands by colonization, disrupted community life, disrupted Indigenous life in ways that we continue to manage as people to come together again and care for. Dealing with federal child welfare policies that are inadequate, thus the Cindy Blackstock lead in terms of taking Canada to court in violation of our Canadian human rights. And of course, the Ministry of Children and Family Development policy that is responsible in British Columbia to remove children from homes and care in terms of their policies is going to stop. We will take care of our children. Those policies, those tables in which our Sioux Nation has jurisdiction will continue to be built on from this Family Declaration. We will not abandon our children. We will, current statistics, as I understand, it was reported out by our chiefs and our wellness staff yesterday at the signing of the declaration, is that when we started this journey of reasserting and rebuilding our nationhood, there were 53% of Aboriginal children in care in British Columbia. 10 years later, there's 65% of Aboriginal children in care. It's tragic, and I could cry right now. Because of the injustice. It's the injustice that somehow, as Indigenous people, that we cannot care for our own. And so they're taken into stranger care, as our nation members have spoken to foster care being removed from moms and dads and grandmothers and grandfathers and caretakers in their community. We will address that. We are committed to address that. We always have, because we are still here. We are resilient in the sense of never have we forgone our teachings of caring for another. Never have we forgone and forgot about those values that are passed down through us, through our people, through our stories, through our ways of life, through our cultural understanding of who we are as Sioux Nation peoples.
Do you find when you create these declarations and write your laws and speak them in this era of truth and reconciliation that we're in, do you find that when you come to bring these to the table with the federal and provincial counterparts, they listen to you and that it's recognized as a law?
We had this discussion this morning talking about our Silks Title and Rights update to our chiefs and members in assembly, and that's the ongoing work. We're standing up our laws. These declarations aren't nothing. They have been circulated in our communities. They our language speakers translate them into Ntsiltsin over and over and over again. The family declaration, for example, took five years. The people want to own it and celebrate it. And the only way that you can do that is ensuring inclusion, ensuring people are listened to, that they feel a part of. And once again, that point I made earlier about connecting is so fundamental in our work, reconnecting with one another, sharing insights and knowledge and perspective. Which is our teaching. We all know we have various perspectives, and yet we will still come together. We will still come together and share those perspectives. And because of that conversation and work, we can go forward. So yes, it is a tool, and it's a tool for our leadership to know with confidence this came from the people. This is what they provided direction to their leadership for. So yes, provincial government, yes, federal government, these are our laws. We want them to be living. We want them to be meaningful. They are purposeful. They have the voice of our people.
And related to that, to Canada's history of and legacy and ongoing legacy of colonialism and assimilation with the residential schools, it is an emotional week this week with the Pope visiting Canada and apologizing in Edmonton. What's it like to be gathering when this is going on in the country?
Your question earlier around the truth and reconciliation context and what our assembly is addressing and discussing these yesterday and today and tomorrow is really around our focus and our priorities of how we are reconnecting and reconciling with each other. That's how it's always been. We've always, our elders and, those that are our ancestors, passed to us that understanding of coexisting upon contact, and that's why I want to really underscore the values that are embedded in these declarations, that they'll never be forgotten, values that we aspire to move towards, but actually live and breathe again. And that means with each other, with our neighbors, and with others that aren't Silks. That's just how it's always been. And yes, the Indian Residential School, as I mentioned earlier, the Pope's visit, yeah, there was some acknowledgement of that. Some of our members went there. And in respect of everyone's right to their own faith, that is their right to attend, and that is their faith. But in terms of reconciliation, we also, as I said, so surprised that we had such a good turnout here, where we thought maybe some would have wanted to witness all the big event for a lot of people here in Canada in that context. Our work continues, So yes, we have a lot to do. There's various perspectives of his apology. If that is truly on behalf of the church, well, we still got a lot. This is my view. We still have a long way to go. But I'm reminded of the truth and reconciliation process that Canada committed to a number of years ago, and the report that came out. And they honor that report. People uphold that report. Our people, other Silks or Indigenous nations across Canada. It's a document. It's a legacy document. And one of the asks of Indian residential school survivors was they wanted a Pope's apology. We can judge that. We can weigh that. We can, interpret it. And believe me, there's lots of interpretations of what happened these last few days in Alberta. And that will continue to contribute to the discussion and the work of reconciliation. I've heard some say, the Pope Pope Francis missed his opportunity internationally, and it could have been more meaningful. Well, it's done. It's a new day. It's a beautiful day here. We are very fortunate to be breathing in and given another day of life.
I feel like I could ask you a million questions, but I'm cognizant that you probably need to get back. Is there anything else, though, that's going on in these 3 days that you think people should know about? What actions are being taken?
Oh, there's so many actions. There's so much work, exciting work, innovation. If there was a message I would give to the listener, Indigenous peoples that lived here, that were here on these lands since time immemorial, we have something to contribute to the world that we've been provided. In our stories, in our creation stories, we again are told of those responsibilities to uphold. And those responsibilities of which we are in our assembly are discussing, we could be here weeks. And maybe that's what's needed one day. I'm not sure, and what that might look like. But it is rebuilding. It is strengthening and each other and holding each other up, whether it's child welfare, our new relationship with health services through the First Nations Health Authority, whether it's grizzly bear habitat protection and enhancement, caribou, Silk's defense of our inherent title and rights, whether it's the upholding of our sacred languages, of our protection of our precious source, our water is life, our siwilk, that is the work. There's a whole range of issues and business that we attend to, and that of protecting our four food chiefs, in which our Intik-Tik is part of that, our chief salmon that come and have the right, and we are obligated and responsible to help them return to the headwaters of the Columbia. That's an arduous journey. And we are on an arduous journey, but we're also on an exciting one, and a one that we're committed to. And that's the message I like to think that our people and their, our allies and our relatives and our relations, when we say all our relations, that's everything. That's everything living and breathing. Everything has life. That's what our work is absorbed in. Regardless of how minimal it might seem, or huge it might seem, it's all very important. Restoring the history, rewriting history for our children to learn of colonization from K to 12, enhancing curriculum, the Ministry of Education, the Ministry of Health, the Ministry of Mining and Energy, all of these aspects of that impact our life, we are a part of it, right? Our youth went on a land tour this morning and to show them an old ark site that's up here of our ancestors. And it was disrupted, and it caused, some sadness because they weren't aware that the trail had been cut off and there was further development there. So we couldn't access that ARC site to show them and connect with them. Our people were here. Your ancestors were here. Don't forget that. And so our assembly is really about also celebrating partnerships. We had various sponsors, Fortis BC, BC Hydro, and various contractors that have contributed to a bursary that we award to Silk students, whether in post-secondary training and college training. We announce bursary awards once a year, and we make it competitive, not overtly onerous for students to, you know, share with us their dreams and their educational and professional goals. So we try to include as much as possible in this brief moment that we're together here.
And when you say ARC site, archaeology site?
Archaeology site, yes, an old archaeology site where one of our pit houses were.
And it's been disturbed.
Yeah, it's been disturbed, yeah. So that just came up today. So, like, every day, you know, people ask me why I stay. It's not easy work. There's fierce conversations, but there's also fierce love. And, you know, every day, it's never the same day. There's always something to explore, something new, meeting new people. I never know what comes in my door. And that's what's exciting for me, because my passion is working for, as a Silks woman, you know, murdered and missing Indigenous women, domestic violence, all of that is part of my drive and motivation to ensure that we have and are fostering safe communities for children and families to be raised in. That's my driver. I want everyone in our communities to feel safe, and I want our languages to thrive. I want our cultures to thrive. I want people to embrace diversity, embrace inclusivity, values that are longstanding